2 Peter chapter 1, give you a second to get there. I'm not sure how this message is going to preach. It might be more of a teaching type thing. I'll see if I can get a little preaching in on it somehow. You pray about that. Just kind of helpful. Sometimes we take things for granted, and not take them as we should. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 19, the Bible says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and just pray now and that you speak to our hearts, that we do thank you for everyone that's here tonight, and Lord, our fellowship time and our singing, as always, is a blessing, and everything we get to do. But now, Lord, I pray you clear our hearts, our minds, Lord, to take your word into our hearts. And Lord, we know what an impact your word can have on us. Lord, help us to be all we can be. Lord, be bold in our witness for you. Lord, not be cowards. Not be ashamed. Help us not to take things for granted, Lord, that you do for us and have done for us. But help us to be grateful. And Lord, be faithful. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to preach about the Bible itself. I've done it over the years, haven't done it in a long time, but I just wanted to think about the Word of God. You know, sometimes we've had Bibles, man, I don't know how many I've wore out, reading them and had different ones. Always get it all outlined, and then by the time that happens, it's falling apart and I got to get another one. Now you got to start all over again, which is okay. I'm not suspicious about my Bible. I know some people, they won't write in theirs. Now, this is a copy of the copy of the Word of God. But now I'm kind of two-sided on that. I do write in my Bible. I make some notes, kind of help me out, underline some things right there. I'm not suspicious in that way that I'm doing it any harm. But I will tell you this, at home, I don't set anything on it. I don't use it for a coaster. I don't use it for a door stopper. I don't beat the dog with it. I am conscious of that. I try not to disrespect it in that way, but I'm not superstitious about it. But I do. But I think you ought to, a good old wore out Bible, that's a good sign right there that you've looked into the Word of God and you're using that thing and studying it. And no dust on the Bible, as the song said. We don't want to have dust on the Bible. The word Bible's not found in the Bible, by the way. It's called the Bible. The Bible, the word Bible, just actually means a book. You could actually apply it to any book. Any book would be a Bible. But this day and time and over time, we've come to know when somebody says a Bible, we know exactly what book they're talking about. They're talking about the Word of God, God's book. But notice in verse 19, I like what it says there, just in way of introduction. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. The Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy than a lot of things. It's more sure than miracles. It's more sure than signs. It's more sure than angels. The Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy than any other thing that we've ever had, other than Jesus Christ himself. Of course, he is the Word and the living Word. So we have a sure word of prophecy. But notice what it says. It says, take heed, whereunto you do well that ye take heed. Take heed to the Word of God as unto a light. It's a light that shineth in a dark place, which is actually our hearts, as you see in context, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So see, the dark place that we have or had is our hearts. And then, of course, the people that are lost in the world, the dark place is a dark world, a dark place. I was telling John when I was leading him to the Lord, but I wanted to kind of get everything clear as possible, make sure he understood. Matter matter of fact, what started all off, the first day you ever been here, he said, man, I want to join your church. I said, wait a minute, man. I said, don't rush into it. I said, there's things, you know, you got to, there's things you would need to see and just, you know, just take your time, no rush, make sure, you know, come on in. And I said, but the first thing I need you to know is, are you saved? He said, well, I don't know. So, you know, the ecclesia called out, you got to be saved to be in the church. I mean, that's what the church is, the called out assembly of people. And so that's what started the whole thing and me talking to him. And I told him, I said, you know, God, when a man gets saved, I mean, immediately we get the Holy Ghost of God in our heart. I mean, we have the Holy Ghost and nothing, you know, I can teach stuff to you and there's not, I'm saying there's things you can learn without the Holy Ghost of God. You could learn something. I know lost people that could tell somebody how to get saved. They've learned that. But when you really apprehend is when the Holy Spirit of God illuminates your heart and mind. Like those Emmaus Road disciples were walking down there. Jesus is talking to them. He expounded the scriptures. And then it said, you know, didn't our hearts burn while he talked to us? And then it says their eyes were open. It's talking about their spiritual eyes were open and it dawned on them. That's a good phrase right there. It dawned on them who they had been talking with. And so it's when God illuminates through the Holy Spirit, you know, what we have learned. But so that's that dark place. But he said, take heed, you know, whereon you do well that you take heed to the Word of God. You know, the thing about the Word of God, it's not enough to know it. It's not enough even if God illuminates it in our heart. You know, we have to obey it. It doesn't do any good. It's like men are world famous. My dad was one of the world's worst for, like, if the instructions said one thing, he thought he knew better than the people that designed and built it. And, you know, he would say, oh, you don't need to do that. And I'd say, but Dad, the people that designed it says you do. You know, they need. And so sometimes, you know, we got instructions that tell us what to do with things in life, and we don't want to do what the instruction says. And then we wonder why the thing doesn't work like it's supposed to. And it's the same way with the Word of God. You know, if we don't obey it, then it doesn't work like it's supposed to. And so we have to do that there. And, you know, we see today, listen, the Word of God is under attack. No doubt in my mind that one of the main things that's under attack besides the Christians has got to be the Word of God, because you can't get saved apart from the Word of God. You have to have the Word of God. And if Satan can attack that, I know it's behind that plethora of versions that we have all over the place today. I don't know how many Bible versions there are, but there's tons of them. But I'll tell you what's a trend about them. You know, you might say, well, could a person get saved reading another verse? They could, because they'd have to put faith in Jesus Christ to get saved. There's enough stuff in a lot of them to get to that point right there. But I'll tell you what's wrong with some of the other versions, and this is a trend, and mark it down. If you got another version of the Bible, keep your old King James and go in there and look. And when you get around Bible verses that start talking about Jesus, see if they don't take the name Jesus out and put He. Huh? There's a trend, man. I'm telling you, it's a trend. They take out Jesus and they put He, which could be anybody down the road. I mean, if somebody didn't know, He. I could say, if I wanted to be a cult leader, I could say, well, that He right there, that's talking about me. And see, you can put anybody in. And then the other trend is, if it says the Lord Jesus, they leave the Lord off and just say Jesus. They will say Jesus in, but they leave the Lord off, which is denying or at least trying to water down or to distract us away from the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then sometimes when the other version says, when it should say Jesus Christ, it just says Jesus or He, and they take Christ off, which is denying or deleting or diluting His Messiahship. It's taking you away from there. It's a subtle change. Sure, Satan's subtle. That's how he works. Listen to God's, the Christian music, the so-called Christian music that's on the scene today. I'll tell you what a trend is. There's nothing in there about the cross. There's nothing in there about the blood. I'm not saying every song. I'm just saying a lot of them. There's songs that sing about the name of Jesus, about no greater name out there, and never mention the name Jesus in the whole song. There's songs out there that'll sing about everything. You'll never hear the word God. You'll never hear the word Jesus. You'll never hear about the blood. You'll never hear about the cross. Why? Because Satan is subtle. Are the songwriters doing this on purpose? No, they don't know. They're just puppets in the hand of the devil. So when you start seeing a trend of taking that away, and it's slight, 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 but I'm telling you, mark it down. I've done looked in too many. I've done study. I have studied this extensively early in my pastorate about Bible versions and looked and saw, and I saw the trends, and it would just shake you up if you keep looking and looking and looking and say, aha, 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 aha. Why take the name Jesus out and put He? Does that make it easier for you to read? Uh-uh. No, it don't. There's only one reason, huh? To get your eyes off of Jesus. There's only one reason to do it. And it's you can't deny it. You got to look. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. It's going to be a trend to get his name removed from everything. The lordship is deity even. His messiahship. It's subtle, but it's a reality. So number one thing, you know, when you're talking about the Bible, we look, what is the Bible? Well, the very first thing that we see, is that it is inspired. It is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the Son of Man may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all a good works. Now that phrase, by the inspiration of God, the whole phrase is theonoustos, and it means, theo is God, and we should know that, but neo, it's P-N-E-O is how it's spelled, it's pronounced neo, it means to breathe or to blow hard. It's sometimes in the Bible that same word is rendered wind in other cases. A wind is a lot of times a picture of the Holy Spirit. Remember in those days they used a lot of nautical terms, and it was like the wind that would move a ship along. It just kind of, it carried that ship, right along. And what it means here is that the Bible is divinely breathed, that God breathed the Word of God. I mean, it was, when God was dealing with man, when he created man, it said that he breathed into his nostrils. That was life. They breathed life into his nostrils. You remember in Ezekiel when them old bones had to come up, and what happened? It said that that sinew came on them and everything, and on the bones, and they stood up, but then he had to breathe in them the breath of life. It's the same word that would be used there, the breath that came up in their life. And so God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul, the Bible says. And God breathed into this book, and it became a living book. This is what's cool about this. You cannot exhaust it. You know, you get I've read some books over again a couple times that I've read a couple books. You know, you take a regular old book off the shelf, a novel or something, and you read that thing once or twice, and after that, I mean, after a while, you're going to have it pretty much exhausted. You'll never exhaust this book right here. You ever notice that, those of you that have read through your Bible more than one time, how many of you have read your Bible, and then one day you read a verse and you say, man, I don't ever remember seeing that. Huh? I never remember. You know, it's one of them things. It grabs you. It just like grabs you. It sticks out. It happens to preachers. That's why sometimes we preach on something we haven't preached on. And finally, you know, you think, man, I never saw it that way. It gets a hold of you. And then the thing about the way the Word, you know, you take a regular book, you read a sentence out of a regular book, it pretty much means what it says. It means one thing. That's it. But the great thing about the Word of God is, you know, you can read a verse, and man, that thing can have some applications going in different directions, and they all would apply. It can go in different directions at the same time. It can mean one thing to you, and I don't mean this in by way of interpretation, but I mean how it would apply to you in your situation. It could change. I mean, we can't make it molded into fitting something doesn't mean, but I mean, I'm just saying it can. And how it can affect you. It's a living book. It became a living book. It breathes out what God breathed in to the Word right here. Everything that we need is in the book. Everything we need. How to be a Christian. How to be a parent. How to be a husband. How to be a wife. How to be an employee. How to be an employer. How to handle your money. How to raise your kids. Even tells how to give your kids a whipping. Huh? Did you know that? It don't tell you to go in the corner and sit there and say time out or give you time out. Huh? It says take a rod and put it on their backs. Let's have a demonstration. What do you think? Can I get a volunteer? Huh? Want to have a volunteer from the young people? Come on, we get a rod. Come on. Huh? You know? Huh? Tells you how to take, it says take a rod and put it on, tells you how to take, raise your children. I mean, you know, it tells you how to treat your neighbor. Tells you how to be a neighbor. Tells you how to love. Tells you how to be saved. I mean, everything for every little action out in the world, We got it in the Word of God. Great, man, I tell you what, the Bible just, it, now Satan talks us into neglecting it. He talks us into not reading it. Talks us into not listening to the preaching out of it, right? He's going to work on us on it. He's going to get on us right. Why does he want us to do that? Because this here is a life-changing book. He doesn't want us to read the word of book. It breathes out what God breathes in, life into the spirit, love into the soul, understanding into the mind, determination into the will, grace into the heart, beauty into the life, and harmony into being. Man, I mean, it is a book like none other. I mean, I'll never exhaust that topic. I hadn't scratched the surface on what I've told you so far. We just, what it is, it's the Word of God. If you just meditate on that, you know, sometimes I tell people this a lot. It's not really how much you read every day, but it's what you get out of what you read. Sometimes you could read a phrase and meditate on that phrase all day and think about it. The Word of God. I mean, God Almighty, the creator of the universe, spoke the world into existence. I mean, God, that this, it's like, you know, what other important, I mean, they got, if you go up to the Smithsonian or something, they got the literature, you know, sacred things, the Declaration of Independence. I don't know if it's in the Smithsonian, wherever they got it. I'm not a history, but wherever they got it, I mean, they got it under glass and, you know, so it doesn't, and they protect it, man, and it's got like a million laser beams so you can't get in there and steal it and all, because they say, man, this is the, you know, it's an important, and it is an important document for our nation right there. It ain't got nothing on that, huh? It's the Word of God. Amen. That was just some men wrote that down. Listen, here's the Word of God's Word to us. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, we got His Word. What He wants to say. It's like a love letter. Any of y'all got a love letter stash from your husband or your wife got, or maybe your boyfriend, your husband's spouse, I don't know about it, from years ago. You don't have no love letter? I got a letter or two stashed away there in my little box. Sherry wrote me years ago. I got it stashed in there. Might have to break them out every now and then and see. Love letter. This is God's love letter to us, man. I mean, everything that we needed to know. And it's so, when you start thinking about the Word of God, man, I'm carrying around the Word of God. Keep thinking about that. Tomorrow, I want you all day long, just think, the Word of God. I am carrying around the Word of God Almighty, the creator of the universe, wanted me to have this Word. I've got it. That's power, man. It's like carrying dynamite around. You got the Word of God there in your hand. Now, who wrote it? 2 Peter 1:21, there it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, men penned it down, and men even spake it, but it was the Holy Spirit is the author and interpreter of the Word of God. But notice what it says. It says, holy men of God spake. This wasn't your common breed of man. This wasn't your everyday even worshiper or follower of God that wrote it. It said, holy men of God spake. These were guys like I preached on last week. I preached about Enoch, or week before last. I don't even know what I preach on half the time the following week. But Enoch walked with God. I mean, this was a guy that had a relationship where he walked with God. Guys like that. Guys that had a relationship. Holy men. God spake to him and he said, listen, this is what I want you to know. I want to use you to do something. I want you to do something for me. I want you to write this down. And they walked with God. They had fellowship with God. They were in touch with God. But I'm going to tell you what, a lot of what they wrote down, it's because it's inspired, they didn't know what they were writing. They didn't know. Them Old Testament guys couldn't see Jesus. They couldn't see in what they were writing down, but they were writing down what God told them to write down. You know, and I'm sure it didn't go that way, but somebody said, what do you write down today? I mean, I don't know. I just wrote down what God told me to write. What's it mean? I'm not real sure. You know, they probably didn't know. I mean, God revealed some things to them. It probably didn't go that way at all. But God, that word moved. It means that God, you know, holy men of God spake as they were moved. It's that same word I used a while ago, or explanation. It means borne along like a ship being driven by the wind. It also can mean this, one carried by another. And this is the thing that makes it different from all books. I mean, inspired. Hey, listen, there's people out there writing books. They're nutcases. There's people out there, they're just nuts. And what a crazy thing is, somebody writes a book, you think, oh, they must know what they're talking. It's like that old phrase, well, it was on the internet, it must be true, right? Somebody wrote a book, well, they must know what they're talking about. You can get anything published. I mean, you can get any. You don't have to know nothing about what you're talking about. Not this book right here. This book was, it was different from all other books. And these men were under God's control. Prophets. The prophets, one who sees or proclaims a divine message, or one who the Spirit of God rested on, one to whom through God God speaks. Those prophets, man, they just, thus saith the Lord. That's what they said, and that's what we have written down a lot in the old, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord said. That's how you found out in the old day before they had a Bible. You didn't have a Bible, guess what? You had to go to church. They didn't have church, but you had to go to the temple. You had to get around somebody that had contact with God, because you want to know what God said? They would say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord says. And he gave them the message. And that was, you know, coming out from the Word of God. But then God decided that he wanted to have them pin it down. So men pinned it down. Well, what's the purpose of the Bible? And listen, none of these I'm not exhausting any of these topics by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just getting on with some of the parts. Jesus said in John 5:39, he says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Talking about the Scriptures. The Scriptures are they which testify of me. Do you know that everything in the Bible points to Christ? You know, this is what you should see. And this is what you ought to look for. And even today, and it took years. I mean, there was some biggies. But everything in the Bible pictures or points to Jesus Christ. Everything. So many things in the Bible. People even there. And last week or so ago, I was preaching about Noah building that ark, and that ark was a type of Christ. Everything about the ark, the door, the pitch, it only had one window and it was looking up, and God shut the door, everything. The temple, if you ever do a big study on the temple in the Old Testament, everything in the temple, the altar, the showbread table, the candlestick, the laver, everything pictured Christ to some degree. And the tabernacle before the temple, when they had the tabernacle and they had animal skins and they had dyed things and they had staves with rings, and some were made out of silver and some were made out of brass, and they had silver sockets and the poles and everything about it. Every little thing pictured Jesus Christ. You can trace everything down and show how it either pictured Christ or a work of Christ. It pictures one of those two things. All the feasts, every feast that the Israelites had, it wasn't for any reason, no reason whatsoever. They didn't know it, but it was all pointing to Jesus Christ. All the feasts, the offerings, the sacrifices. You look at the Passover. We know about the Passover lamb. Man, the Passover lamb, and the lamb had to be without blemish, without spot. They had to slay that lamb, shed his blood. Couldn't break any bones on him, because they didn't break no bones on Jesus. They had to eat all of it. It couldn't be boiled. It had to be burnt. That sacrifice had to be consumed, because Jesus gave everything of his life for that lamb to be slain. Like I say, couldn't be without blemish, without spot. I mean, everything about the lamb, the Passover lamb, they had to eat it with bitter herbs to remind them what Jesus was going to do on the cross, and they didn't even know who Jesus was, but it all pointed to Jesus. Everything about the Passover, the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the trespass offering, the peace offering, the drink offering, the red heifer offering, everything pictured Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible. Anytime you read the Bible, try to see Jesus in the Word of God. The Old Testament characters were types of Jesus. Adam. Adam was a type in type of Christ. Adam to quicken. Abel, the offering. Abraham to sacrifice and separate. Jacob, he represented in a way of a substitute. Or Isaac in way of a substitute, Jacob to secure, Joseph to provide, Moses to lead, Joshua to subdue, David to conquer, Solomon to teach, Boaz to redeem. I mean, everybody in the Bible just about pictured Christ in some way or another. You could preach whole messages on every single person in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Everybody say amen. A lot of you are yawning. I'm hoping you're going to make it. I'm hoping you're going to survive by the time we get to the end of this mess. So everything pictured Jesus Christ. And all the scriptures, like I say, his work, his grace, his love, his peace, his judgment, his wisdom, his power, his glory, every bit of it is contained in the Word of God. Now, there's two fundamental themes in the Bible right there. The two fundamental themes of the Bible are the sufferings and the glory of Christ. The sufferings and the glory of Christ. Those are the two fundamental themes in the Word of God. Calvary and Olivet, cross and the crown, the Lamb and the throne, the altar and the Shekinah. Without the cross, we don't have a Savior. Without the resurrection, we don't have any hope. You know, I think about John. In his day, John saw everything that he could see about Jesus in his, he saw his humanity. He saw him as he walked and ate and got tired and wept and everything that he did as a human. He saw him as he suffered. He saw him the scourge. He saw him nailed to the cross. He saw him die. He saw him buried in the tomb, but he also saw the resurrection. And when he was on the Isle of Patmos, he saw the glorified Christ. I mean, that's everything that we need to see in the Bible. We need to see every little aspect that John saw in real life. We need to see, the humanity. Humanity of Jesus. We need to see the suffering Jesus. We need to see the slain Jesus. We need to see the resurrected Jesus. And we need to see the glorified Christ. Every aspect that's in the Word of God in one way, shape, or another, and actually in multiple ways, shapes, or another. The Bible can't exhaust everything about Christ either, I don't think. I think the Bible says about itself that if everything was written that God had done, the world wouldn't contain the books. And there's a lot of world in the book, out there that hold the books there. And so he saw that. And so we need to see it, and we need to see him in the Word of God. I mean, God's Word, this is it right here. And then what the Bible imparts, this is another great topic. The Bible is compared to many things. Water talks about the washing of the water of the Word. We get in sin, we get defiled. You know, how do you get cleansed? How many of you ever, you get in sin somehow, or you get away from God or something? How many of you, sometimes you feel like you feel unworthy to read the Word of God? Huh? You just feel unworthy. But I'm going to tell you, let's give it in a practical way. How many of you, when you get real dirty outside working, mowing the grass, something, how many of you want to go in there and take a shower real quick? How many of you don't, where you sit? you go out there, and when you get real dirty, you want to take a shower just as fast as you can. Well, I'm going to tell you what, when we get defiled by the world, there's your shower right there. Yeah, you get in the Word of God. Listen, you don't feel worthy. That's exactly where you need to go, in the Word of God. Man, we read the Word of God and let it bless our heart. Talk to God, pray there so we know about water. Sometimes the Bible is compared to fire. The thing that fire does in the Bible, anytime you see it, usually it's speaking about sacrifice, but one of the reasons it's used, it talks about cleansing, the cleansing power of fire, man, and that's something else we need. And then the Bible's, the Word of God's even referred to as a hammer. In Jeremiah, man, it talks about a fire and a hammer, as a matter of fact. His Word is a hammer, man. I mean, it just, crushes Satan, man, crushes sin, defeats things, busts down things. We see the Word of God there. But then here's another real neat one right here, and I like this. It's compared to as seed. Sometimes the Word of God is compared to seed. And I had a message I preached one time. Y'all remember that time I gave everybody a little corn kernel? Everybody got their little corn. I think some of the people, Speedy, you went and planted yours, didn't you? Did you get a corn thing out of that? Huh? Yeah, Speedy went and I gave everybody a corn kernel, and they all had it in their hand. And I said, look at that thing. There's life in that seed. It don't look like it, though. You could take them old seeds and stack. They say they found seeds in the pyramids that the Egyptians put in there. When somebody died, they wanted to send them off however they believe, And they put the seeds in there. And they said they could take them seeds out and plant them 1,000 years old and things would grow. There's life in a seed, but it don't look like it. And here we just got this book here. Some printing company printed it. It is the Word of God. But it's printed up. But here it is, just a book. Just got words written down in there. There's life in them words. Amen. It don't look like it. It may not look like it, but there's life in them words right there. And so we think about an old seed. It contains life. But here's another thing. This contains life. You know what a seed does? It produces its kind. See that old corn seed, Speedy? You put it in there. If it did right, I guess a corn stalk gets something like 3 3 years, yeah, three or four, something like that's about normal. I guess there'd be some oddball ones. Some of them maybe get one. But you take, then you get that one, say if it only had one. You get a corn stalk off of there, peel it back. How many corn seeds is on that thing? All them little corn kernels, those are seeds. How many is on there? It produced one just like what it was. That's what the Word of God does. That's all about Jesus Christ, right? It produces Christ-like people. That's what it does right here. Now you gotta obey it. I mean, you know, you gotta be transformed. Be transformed. The Bible tells you in Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, it's our mind that gets messed up. If it wasn't for my stupid mind, I wouldn't mess up half as much as I do, right? It's our mind that gets off track. My body don't do nothing my mind don't tell it to do, right? Even standing up here doing that, huh? It's the mind. So if our mind gets off track, it's our mind that's got to be renewed. The body will fall in line. The body will fall in line if you can get the mind. Now, boxers, they do it the other way around. Boxers say, well, you go to the body, the head will fall. But in this case, you got to go to the head and the body will follow along. And that's the way you got to do it. And so it produces like unto its kind. Faith in the, listen to this now, I'm going to have to read it twice so you can get it. Faith in the living word comes by means of the written word. And when the living word, by means of the written word, operates in a living soul, the character of the word is reproduced. See, faith in the living word comes by means of the written word. And when the living word, by the means of the written word, operates in a living soul, the character of the word is reproduced. Here, a seed is planted and reproduced. It's a holy word. We understand the Word of God is a holy word to sanctify. This, the Word of God is what separates us from the crowd. You start living your life, and listen, I'm going to tell you in a heartbeat. Matter of fact, there's some things you're not going to have to separate from because it's going to separate from you. You get in the Word of God, get on fire for Jesus. You start living your life according to this Word, guess what? There's going to be some people, you and I are going to have to separate from them. They are going to separate from you because they don't want to hear those things. And so it's sanctified. That means it separates. It separates us from sin. Draws us. Sin separated us from God, but the Word of God draws us back to God. But the Word of God also separates us back from that sin that separated us from God. I can get one of those sentences going like we just read. I remember my pastor when I was ordained. My pastor from Northern Virginia, he came up. He was on my ordination board. Pastor Frank was set it up here. And he wrote in my Bible, he said, let not sin keep you from this book. But let this book keep you from sin. He wrote that in one of my Bible or something that I got, a book, I think, something he gave me when I was ordained. It's a righteous word to rectify. You know what rectify means? It means to correct, to set straight, to turn things around. You know, you get going off course just a little bit. Sometimes it sets you back straight. When I was in the Navy, they had ships, they had charts. And they would get on the, they would get the charts out and they'd see where they're going. And the guy would get on there with a compass thing. He would plot the course. And if you got off course, you didn't get to where you wanted to go. And if you know here, if I'm not talking about getting to heaven. If you're saved, you're saved. You're gonna get there. But we can get off course on the way. You know, the Israelites, they were 3 weeks when they left Egypt. They were 3 weeks from the promised land. Took them 40 years to get there. Why? Because they got off course spiritually. They got off course, and God made them wander around. They would wander around and there would be their own footprints in the sand. Man, it looks like one time out back behind our house, we lived in Amosville, and they said there was an old Civil War factory down in, during the Civil War, they had a uniform factory down in there by, that was on the Rappahannock River. You go down through the woods behind my house, you get down to the Rappahannock River. So I told Sherry, I said, well, I'm going to go down there and wander around. And I know my way around pretty good. I'm going to brag on this. I can find my way around the woods pretty good. Don't, you know, without getting lost. I ain't saying every now and then it gets a little, you know, but for the most part, I can find my way around. Well, it's just a big old holler that went down this way, and it was a ridge out there, and I knew the river was back there. Man, I got down there traipsing around, man, and I was going along there, and I finally decided I'm going to go back to the house, okay, and I'm walking along, and I saw one of them box turtles on the ground, you know, one of them turtle things. He was down there. I said, oh, look, a box turtle, there he is. And so I kept walking along, and I thought I was going straight on back to the house, and next thing you know, oh, look, there's another one of them box turtles on the ground. And then I said, look at that big old footprint right there just passing. I said, that's my footprint. I done got all, I said, I'm going around the circle. So I hung a left, and there was a guy that lived back in there. He used to be in the CIA. I come traipsing out in his backyard. I thought, man, that guy might be, he might be nervous, you know, about somebody trying to get to him. He might shoot me. I don't know. He was out there in his robe. And I said, hey, you know, peace, don't shoot. Anyway, got up there. But I got off to see, I wandered around because I wasn't on the right. I didn't have a map. I didn't have a GPS. God's positioning system. I didn't have it. And so the Israelites got off course spiritually, and that happens to us. So instead of getting very quickly to the place that God would have us to get, we wander around for 40 years in some other place before we get to that place. How many of you have been on that wilderness journey? Huh? You've been on that wilderness journey for some years, right? Amen, in your life. So it's the word is there to set straight or turn us around. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, there it is again, breathe, and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, we need that, and for instruction in righteousness. And the reason you need instruction in righteousness is because by nature we are unrighteous. By nature, you know, we didn't have to learn how to sin. It's like you don't have to teach anybody how to fall off a log. They do it automatic. You don't have to learn how to sin, but you do have to be instructed on how to be righteous. This is where you learn right here. Where are you going to learn this at? You're going to learn how to be instructed in righteousness watching Saturday Night Live or something on television. You just got to be in the Word of God, right? Now, like I said, of course you got to read it. You know, listen, here it is. You can walk around all day like this. This thing don't work by osmosis. You can carry it around all day long. It don't just like, you know, take it and rub it on her head and it'll go in, and we got, you know, no, you gotta read it, and for it to do any good to you, sitting on the coffee table, toting it around in your truck, you know, carrying it in and out of church, you know, throwing it down in the seat is not going to. You got to like read it and meditate upon the Word of God. That's going to help you in that area right there. It's a living word to fructify. Don't get freaked out about fructify. Fructify means it produces fruit. It produces fruit in our lives because it's a living word. You know, if you got old healthy seeds again, you put that thing in the ground, put the water on it, everything's good. When it comes up, it's going to produce fruit. You get an apple tree, them things start blue. You can't stop it. I mean, unless you just cut it off. But I mean, you can't like hold your finger on the bud and keep an apple from coming out. It's coming. It's the same way with us when we study the Word of God. And listen, there's going to be fruit going to come out in your life. Can't be stopped. It can't be stopped because a seed, have you ever seen, I know you've probably seen a picture, but I've seen a picture, big old giant rock, big old rock big as this room right here, little old crack in it. Seed gets down in there somehow. You didn't think there's enough moisture in there for an ant. But that seed gets in there and finds a little bit of dirt and there's a tree growing out of a rock. Man, I mean, and you think that rock would stop it? That tree will split that rock wide open. You get the Word of God in your heart, there's no stopping. Satan's not going to stop it. The world's not going to stop it. The flesh is not going to stop it. And the Word of God, listen, that seed gets in here for real. You don't have to pretend to be a Christian. You don't have to act like a Christian. I don't want you to act like one anyway. I want you to be one. You don't have to act like it. You don't have to fake it. Huh? You don't have to get on, call 911 on life support, man. You're barely making it. You know, somebody pumping on your chest, a preacher every Sunday morning, got to get every one of you on the floor, boom, 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 boom. Take your pulse, see if you're still living. Huh? No, you don't have to do all that. That tree's going to come up out of there and bust that rock wide open. Boom. Huh? You can't stop it. It's fructify. It's a wise word to edify, the word that'll build you up. This word will build you up. It'll build you up. It'll build others up. It's a peace word. To pacify, there's a lot going on in life that is the opposite of peace. And a lot of talk about peace. Try to negotiate peace, legislate peace, enforce peace. You know what they call, you know what another name for police officers are? Peace officers. But they all got guns. Kind of an oxymoron, right? We got a peace officer with a gun, which it's okay. But what I'm trying to get at is we're not going to, you're only going to find peace in the Word of God. That's it. You're not gonna legislate it, negotiate it, enforce. You know, you're not gonna enforce peace. You know, if you're not peaceful, I'm gonna kill you. You know, that's it. No, it's gonna be only found in the Word of God. It's a powerful word to electrify. You want to have a revival? Here's where you're gonna get it. Huh? It's right here, man. Because listen, the revival, it's not gonna start here. It's gonna start here. You're going to be revived. It's going to be in, you know, somebody going to get on fire for God. Somebody or somebody's, a couple people going to get on fire. It's going to start in somebody's heart. It's not going to start in just a meeting. It's got to start in the hearts. It's not going to be in the building. It's going to start in the hearts. And the only thing that's going to regenerate the heart is going to be the Word of God. You know, the power, it's a powerful word. It'll fire you up and empower you to live, to witness, to withstand things that are going on in the world. It's a loving word to intensify. Listen, man, nothing will motivate you to do anything like love will. It's the greatest motivator in all the world. Amen. Motivated Jesus Christ to die on a cross, pay for our sins. Nothing will motivate you to do anything like love. Nothing. A mother will dive in a burning car. Mother will give her own life to save her child. Father will do the same thing. Wouldn't jump in there for nothing else. Jump in there for love. It'll motivate you. Jesus Christ suffering and death is called, what's another name for it? Called his passion. Passion. Passionous. You're passionate. He had to be passionate about us to die for us. That's why they call it his passion. He had to love us to go through that. And then what the Bible does, somebody said this, every hour I read you, it kills sin, kills a sin, or lets a virtue in to fight against it. I got a little thing here I printed off. It was something I saw. It was an acrostic. It has every letter in the alphabet. Alphabet. Can't talk. Has to do with the Word of God. It says every first word starts with a letter in the alphabet. One kind of got to skew it just a little bit. But acquaints us with the theme of the gospel. It's talking about the Word of God. Acquaints us with the theme of the gospel. Blesses us as we obey its precepts. Consecrates us as we follow its injunctions. Defeats the enemy as we use it against him. Edifies the life as we heed it. Fires the heart to a faithful testimony. Guides those who follow its light. Heals the spirit as it is applied. It forms the mind as to its secrets. Judges the conduct and maketh wise. Keeps us abiding in Christ's love. Leads to the true and beautiful. Molds us like to itself. Nourishes the spiritual life. Orders the steps of our life, purifies the mind, quietens the heart, rewards those who keep it, sanctifies those who live in it, teaches those who are led by it, unites us to the Lord, verifies the experience, warns the observant, examines the heart, yokes us with Christ, and zeals the soul. Everything in the alphabet, every letter in the alphabet, what the Word of God, and that once again, didn't exhaust it by any stretch of the imagination. Listen, the Word of God. Read it. Believe it. Live it. Nothing greater than the Word of God. Amen. Let's all stand.